Didn't I see Jazzy here a little bit ago? Is she out in the other room? Okay. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. This morning we're going to begin looking at Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Let's compare this verse to Proverbs chapter 10. Keep your finger there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now these two verses are nearly the same. There is but a slight difference between the two. One is the foolish man despiseth his mother in verse 20 of chapter 15, and 10:1, he is a heaviness to his mother. Now it's very interesting, by way of introduction, it is very interesting to note that 10:1, Proverbs 10:1, starts what is called the Proverbs of Solomon. And they go from 10:1 to 22:16. And they are individual proverbs. They are unconnected sentences. So they are each verse standing alone. Proverbs 10:1 to Proverbs 22:16. Those unconnected sentences are called pithy maxims, and they are pertinent for every age, from the time that they were given till the end of time as we would know it. They are the practical guidelines for successful living to those who believe in the true God and want to serve Him and honor Him. Now, in 1 Kings, let's turn to 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrazite, of Heman the Chalcol, and Darda the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees and of cedar tree, and that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of the fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Now, I've read this to you before, these verses here, but Solomon spoke these 3,000 proverbs. In this particular section of these unconnected sentences from 10:1 to 22:16 within the Proverbs, there are 375 of these unconnected sentences. And they That is only an eighth of the total. Just an eighth of the total Proverbs that is stated here in 1 Kings that he gave. And while they were all no doubt very useful, God has specifically given us this 375 for our instruction and for our learning. And as I said in my prayer, all of these have a contrast of two ways of belief. Two ways of belief and behavior. A right way and a wrong way in each case. So the verse that we're looking at here, 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father. That is one way. But a foolish man despises his mother. That's another. So you have a right way and you have a wrong way. And I find it interesting that this verse, as we looked at 10:1, which are almost identical verses, begin with the instruction how a parent is to instruct his children and how a child is to be obedient to their parents. So before we look at the wise son, we're going to start with the parents with a question regarding a parent's parental responsibilities. What are the responsibilities of parents in regard to their children? Number one, it is the parents' responsibility to teach their children. This goes without saying. Psalm 34, verse 11. A psalm of David. And in Psalm 34:11, he says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." David here undertakes the responsibility of teaching children. Not just adult children, not just believers. Though David was a man of war, he was anointed to be king. He didn't think that this was something that was beneath him. What did he expect of them? To hearken unto me. In other words, to stop your playing, lay down your toys, and hear what I have to say. Not just hear, but obey. Now Spurgeon says of this that this verse may be the address to every Sabbath school teacher, to his class, to every parent, to his children. It is not without instruction in the art of teaching. We should be winning and attractive to our youngsters, bidding them to come and not repelling them with harsh terms. We must get them away, so says Spurgeon, away from their toys, from their sports, and try to occupy their minds with better pursuits. For we cannot well teach them while their minds are full of other things. We must drive at the main point always and keep the fear of the Lord ever uppermost in our teaching, and in so doing, we may discreetly cast our own personality into the scale by narrating our own experiences and our convictions as we teach our children. So says Mr. Spurgeon. This is what David is undertaking to do here, to teach them the fear of the Lord. Now, again, here, we need to keep in mind that David was a musician, he was a statesman, he was a warrior. But what is it that he is teaching his children? The fear of the Lord. So while we have our own particular calling, each one of us, we have certain gifts. And oftentimes you will hear someone say, and you may say yourself, that person has a great gift at whatever it is. Some of us in here are very well versed in the computer world. Others are versed in selling. Others are versed in teaching. Others that are versed or are able to work with their hands. We all have different gifts, and all of those gifts are gifts from God. And they're given to us. But they are just the gift that God has given to us. It doesn't mean that it is the primary thing. So in other words, if I'm an artist, I don't think we have any great artists in here, but if I'm an artist, it is not my primary concern in life to teach my child to be an artist. Is there anything going to be said? Is there anything that is recorded in the Word of God about these things? Do we learn of David? Is David being hailed at the end of his life for being a great warrior? Or being a great statesman? Or that he was able to play the harp so well? Some of you may be able to play a musical instrument. In the scheme of life, what is that? It's nothing. It's literally nothing. It is something that God has given us for enjoyment and for our pleasure, but it is not something that we are to take the total stock in. I can do this, so it's very necessary that my son or my daughter be able to do it as well. And I'm going to teach them all the ins and outs. What is paramount is that we teach our children the fear of the Lord, as David sought to do here. So how does that apply to us as parents? Even the president of the United States, probably the greatest position on the planet, and yet that's all it is. It's a position of leadership that has been given to an individual person. When life is over, is there some great reward for being the President of the United States, as there is of being a faithful father or mother in training our children and instructing our children? See, God, and we just can never lose sight of the fact that God does not see as we see, because we will always take that which appears to be grandiose and buy into that, while God is not looking at that at all. He's looking to that ordinary man or woman that seeks to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that's what he counts as priceless. There's nothing wrong with teaching our children all of the things that are necessary in succeeding in this life. But never, never, never at the expense of neglecting the spiritual. The Lord is not something that we try and squeeze into our schedule. Where that we're doing this and we're going here and we're going there and we've got this appointment and that appointment and we are so important. And we've got this to do and that to do. And we're just hurried about our business, fluttering around. Oh yes, I've got to read the Word of God and draw so the Spirit is tip of the way. Okay. Now back on to my business. The Lord is not something that we try and squeeze into our busy schedule. The Lord is paramount in our life. And our schedule needs to revolve around the Lord. And it's that simple. And Paul said this morning in his prayer that praying that I would be given boldness to say those things that are true regardless of whether they're offensive. And if those things are offensive to you, I'm sorry that that's the case. And if that is the case, there needs to be a change that takes place in the way you order your life. Because the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We say that, do we do it? And how do we do it? Part of this training of what it is to fear the Lord is how we order our lives. Because our children are learning more by example than they are by the words that you tell them. Whether you know it or not, you will be instructing them by example from the very moment that they are born. They will learn by how you order your life in putting first things first. They're going to know those things that you, not what you say that you count as being the first thing, but what you show by your lifestyle as being what is first in your life. So, the very first question that would come to mind is, what is your example? And remember, children are being taught by example, so you're instructing them. What is your example in keeping the Sabbath? First, paramount. What is your example in teaching your children? What about teaching your children to tithe? Would you, as a parent, be able to sit down with your children and teach your children to tithe? Or would you want to say, well, I'll teach them a lot. I don't know if I can teach them that because I don't feel comfortable in that because I'm not doing it myself. So how well could I teach my child to do it? And your child's going to know whether that's the case or not. They're going to know if that is something that is paramount in your life. Something that you consider to be something that is non-negotiable in your life. What is your example under pressure? How do you handle pressure? Do you fall apart under pressure? Are you like we read in Psalm 119 this morning? Turn back over there. Psalm 119, 65. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Are you ever teaching your children about the shortcomings in your life and how that they need to be avoided, and how that the Lord has taught you, He has taught you through some affliction in your life, and how you say that that was good for me, that the Lord dealt with me in the way that He did? Or do you, when you're under pressure, does all the thoughts of God and His Word just seem to fly out the window? And you forget God at that point when you're under pressure. So again, your life is a constant instruction to your children. What is your example? In willingness to help others, even when it costs you something to do so, which may be at your expense. What is your example with your husband or with your wife? How do you speak to them? How do you treat them? Do you reverence them? Do you honor them? What is your example of how you speak in the home about others in the church? What example are you setting before your children about your conversation about others in the church? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 13. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. So, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What we are taught here is the duty which God requires of man. First of all, verse 2, to fear the Lord thy God. And it's all summed up in 5, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So, because the warmer our affections are, the greater our obedience is going to be. So when we love the Word of God, when we cherish the Word of God, and our hearts are warmed by the Word of God, our obedience is going to be greater. When we take the Word of God as a take it or leave it type of thing, when we read it if we have time to read it, our hearts are not going to be warm to it, nor are we going to be obedient to it. So it is that we love Him when our affections are warm toward the Lord, and that all our duties are then performed by a principle of love to God. This doesn't mean just with our words, but with our heart, our soul, and with all of our might. And this picture in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently." This is a picture. If you know what it is to whet a knife, to sharpen a knife on a whetstone, it is to pull that one side and then the other, one side and then the other, until it is razor sharp. And that's what the parent is trying to do with their children, to teach them, to instruct them until they are razor sharp in the things of God. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for that which You have taught us thus far. And we pray, Lord, that we would be greatly convicted. Convicted to our good. Convicted to the point that we repent and return unto our first love. We pray, Lord, that You would warm our hearts and affections towards You, that our obedience to You might be greater and greater and greater. Help us to serve You with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our might. May we do this from a principle of love. For Jesus' sake, amen.